This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
So week one, it's in the books for football, and we learned a lot, as we always do in these first couple of weeks when you get a chance to see a team out there for the first time. Yes, teams change, they improve, but like in a lot of ways, you are what you are week one. Mm-hmm. I think that there's no question about it. And let's get it started first with the C&G Road Paver of the Week. And we got to give it to, you know, an offensive lineman that we already know what he sort of brings to the table. We already know what, you know, he was able to do last year for a Louisa County team that just was incredibly impressive on the ground. The way he clears it, Robbie Gwynn, one of those classic high school football players, underrated guy.
Yeah, I mean, the award appropriately named for this type of person. Like, this is a road grader in sort of every sense of the word. And you look Louise is counting on him to be such a senior leader for a unit up front that just takes a lot of pride year in, year out to what they do. And we're seeing maybe protection coverage can be a little more of a thing this year.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pass block out at Louisa.
But I mean, like, to showcase how good an offensive line played, you have to point to the playmakers, what they did stat wise. Rob Allender comes in there, throws 11 for 14 for 143 yards, 3 touchdown passes, and then Caleb Shelton runs the ball 11 times for 163 yards in a beatdown on Cortland, and not a bad Cortland team. A team that a lot of people were worried about coming into this. You know, how close
playoff team last year, it was a lot closer when they played each other the second time around.
And they had a lot sort of returning ammo coming back. Mm-hmm. So Gwynn and the boys up front, getting the job done, keeping their quarterback safe, doing their usual thing, just getting downfield and knocking people down. And another big day offensively for a Louisa team that, if they can be this diverse, this is going to be one of the sort of, I don't know, more interesting storylines to keep a tab on.
Yeah.
Is what this offense becomes.
Gwynn and Logan Yancey are really the key returners up front, because they lost Colin Carpenter, they lost Tony Thurston, and that's a lot. You know, those are a lot of key guys, and Thurston had been starting since, it felt like, you know, 1989. Yeah. Thurston had been there. He just was a constant fixture up front for them. Tremendous tackle, a guy that you could run, like, I don't know, I think Mark Fisher said they ran like 80% of the time behind him.
Yeah.
Like, that's nuts. Like, that's crazy. There just aren't very many linemen as good as that, but like, Robbie Gwynn and Logan Yancey are just incredible team guys. Logan Yancey really developed as a center last year. He's a lot of fun. Robbie Gwynn, easy choice for road grader of the week right out of the gate, because that offense looked fantastic on the road against a really good team. I think that you got to really like what Louise is bringing to the table. That defense, a shutout. We know, everybody knows how good Brandon Smith is. Like, if you hear it from us again, you're going to hear it 1,000 times. I mean, the guy is just as good as good a linebacker as we've ever had in this area. And a shutout for them against a team that is going to beat some people this year, that's a heck of a way to start.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sort of, we'll get into that afterwards, sort of, it's a statement. I mean, it's
big
exactly
time.
That. But yeah, Gwynn, I mean, it's not surprising. A guy last year as an underclassman sees how a sort of senior class goes about leading things and starting a season off right. He knows how the sausage is made, and how you go pick up 14 wins in a season, play in 15 games. So I think it's pretty cool to see them come out and do what they did like that.
Speaking of shutouts, by the way, we're going to give defensive player of the week, not going to go to a single player. It's going to the whole unit. Fluvanna County's defense got to be the defensive player of the week, defensive team of the week, whatever you want to call it. The Flucos go on the road. They win 21-0 against Bluestone. Break it down how historic this is for them.
Okay, so Bart was actually in attendance the last time this happened.
That's right.
September 24th of 2010, Fluvanna County beat Western Albemarle 27-0.
as Jason Barnett, as a Jason Barnett coach squad.
That's his first year with the team.
First year with the team, a huge win. They bounced back from losing to Buckingham in like dramatic fashion the week before. They bounced back. They won 27-0. It's a Yaya Anderson, TJ Dudley led squad. But that makes it how many games? How many games since Fluvanna County, a defense at Fluvanna County, shut another team out?
76 games.
76 football games they have played at Fluvanna County since the last time they held a team scoreless. Incredible. That's an incredible run to not run across a shutout. I'm sure there are teams that have gone long stretches without shutouts, but I'm going to posit a guess that maybe 76 is the longest in the local area. And to get that done on the road at the start of a new era under Michael Morris, that's awesome. I mean, just awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a coach and you're sort of looking in for that buy-in moment, a team posting a shutout in first game of the year.
Yeah.
How could you ask for more?
First game of the year, first time in 76 games. First time. Like, the kids that are on this team 8 years ago, like, some of them were in third grade when the last time Fluvanna County shut a team out. So, incredible performance. The defense for them is a ton of really good players. Just really good, solid football players. Provet Harris is legitimate. We've talked about him before. He is just a great defensive back. You've got Jesse Van Dyke, who is really good on the edge. Whether he's as an end, he's got his hand down, or he's standing up as an outside back, or wherever they want to use him. That guy's so versatile. They can use him as a tight end or a tackle on offense, too. I mean, the guy just – he can do so many different things for him. And then you've got Trevor Wade up front. You've got Nate Smith right there in the middle. And, I mean, they've just got guys. Guys.
And think about what it does mentality-wise when – I mean, you know, both offenses and defenses could sort of develop within a season. But there's just something different about being on a squad where you say, hey, we can make this stop. We can come up with this stop.
Yeah.
As opposed to, we got to keep pace because this is a barn burner.
Yeah.
It's just a totally different mentality when you think, like, we're going to get the football back.
Yeah. I mean, Bluestone, not a bunch of world beaters. Like, we're not trying to blow it out of proportion. But it still doesn't change the fact that it's been so long.
No, and a win is a win.
A win is a win, number one.
Every high school football coach has taken that.
Absolutely. And not only is a win, but when you get a win of that kind of quality on the road, that you took care of business, that like you didn't like eke it by at 22-21. Like, you won 21-0. You won convincingly. Mm-hmm. And they got the offense going. They got the wing tee going. But the key is that if you can keep all those points off the board, man, like, things can be a little bit different in Fluvanna County.
I get the feeling that sort of the vibe in week two of practice is a little different than it was in training camp.
Yeah.
You start to believe.
You got to. And Spotsylvania, another winnable game coming up. Fluvanna County, maybe a little bit on the move right now. So defensive player of the week goes to the whole unit out there in Fluvanna for a historic shutout win. And then we flip over offensive player of the week. A guy with a breakout performance, he follows a historic line of really, really good quarterbacks, and he steps in, and it's Malachi Fields, the sophomore over at Monticello, coming up with a huge game.
Yeah, and I mean, just supremely different from the week before in the scrimmage against Goochland, and talking to Coach Jeff Lloyd afterwards, I mean, he was just so proud of the progress that, you know, a sophomore was able to make within 1 week, and it really came from, hey, just trust your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, when in doubt, just pick up the yardage. And it turns out that he is very shifty. I mean, he's a tall kid, very shifty, but he's a quality inside runner. He can make people miss in the middle of the football field in sort of tight spaces. This isn't somebody who just has to, you know, find the edge. I mean, he's a deer when he hits the edge. Obviously, the kid can fly, but look at it. It's 17 carries for 166 yards, two touchdowns, and a couple – two really long runs that were really nicely done. But then passing wise, two pick sixes the week before. This one, no interceptions, goes 7 for 14, 154 yards in the air, and two touchdowns, both of which are, I mean, dimes thrown to Trenton Johnson.
Yeah, he put, I saw the video of the one that he hit him down the sideline. Just right on the money.
He threw into double coverage, but only his guy could get it for the second touchdown. The first touchdown, he just reared back and launched the ball.
Because Johnson was just flying. He was wide open on that
one. That was sort of a play that had sort of broken up, and he ran a wheel route on and just, hey, go out and run as fast as you can. I'll throw it as far as I can. And they hit each other in stride. It was perfect. Yeah, and that sort of broke the game open for Monticello. Once Monticello had that touchdown, the sidelines, they're feeling the buzz. They're like, oh, all right, we're going to be fine. Yeah. And, you know, this is what happens when you have confidence in your quarterback. It just spreads. It gets contagious. And so now everybody's trying to go out there and make big plays because they know their man can get them the ball. They know he's going to be able to convert. I mean, even in the first drive of that game, there's a turnover on downs. But Fields on like fourth and very long makes this run that is just an inch shy of getting a first down. And that's his first drive. And he comes out in the second one and gets the touchdown. So, I mean, kudos to the sophomore. I know they're pretty excited about what he can do going for, you know, forward. And I guess the word is out as far as Monticello's quarterback is he's sort of no best kept secret thing
anymore. Yeah. It was definitely, and there was a lot of mystery around it, whether it was going to be Chase Emmerich or Malachi Fields, who was going to break out. They got a pretty good one as a backup. They got a good option there. Having two quarterbacks who are capable, that's obviously a big hit, but yeah, that's what you were looking for. But, I mean, it's so hard in high school football to win without a reliable playmaker at quarterback. It just is difficult.
It's the one person that touches the ball every snap.
Yeah, and you're only going to get... And, like, you can run systems with Fluvanna. We're going to talk about Fluvanna again in a little bit. But, like, Fluvanna switches to the wing T. That minimizes the quarterback a little bit. But if you want to run these spread systems or you want to run these systems that are highly reliant on throwing the ball, having a playmaker there is important. Not an adequate guy, but a playmaker.
Oh, I mean, look at the – I mean, for another wing T team, you look at Gutchlin where they talk about Devin McCray and what that athletic ability brings to that position that allows you to sort of – branch out and do differently if you don't have that. We saw it when they had Jordan Jefferson too. It just sort of lets you become a different offense. And so Fields, yeah, it's huge. I mean, that is a quarterback centric system. Jeff Lloyd's been very lucky. He had a really good one for a really long time in Kevin Jarrell, and it looks like he's got another one. And that's pretty impressive. And it's also sort of a tradition at Monticello. I mean, Jahlil Mosley had his sort of breakout year as a sophomore.
I was there for the Jahlil Mosley debut. Yeah. And the way that you're kind of talking about Malachi is the way that I came back talking about Mosley because he did the same thing. He had Tyler Moneymaker on a big bomb for Altmar. And he also, in that first game, he unleashed like what I considered the prototypical Jahlil Mosley play, that weird play fake that he runs where he leaves the ball on his hip. And you really just can't see the ball. If you're a defender, you couldn't see the ball. And he unleashed that, and it's like such a weird wrinkle that he ran. I don't know if he got it from Brad Bignell. I don't know where he got it. But like when he made that move, like you're like, okay, like this kid is legit. He can play. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are about to happen here.
Yeah, and I think that bomb to sort of Trenton is that play for them. They're like, wow, this kid getting fired.
Yeah.
And you know, same thing. I mean, Jarrell played a bit as a freshman, but it was his sophomore year where you really sort of saw that.
Because you have to be able to do it. Like, you can do that kind of stuff in practice. There's a ton of guys who have a golden arm in practice or look great in 7-on-7. But, like, when the lights come on, like, you're like they talk about, like, with quarterbacks that your eyes can't drop and see the line, that it's got to stay up and it's got to see downfield. And sometimes guys, when the lights go on, their eyes drop.
Yeah, it's so different than a practice. I mean, the big nasties aren't coming to hurt you in practice.
No.
I mean, it's just a completely different sort of – and he talked about – Fields talked about that. Like, he's like, the game was a lot faster than anything else that he had played in. But the fact that he sort of enjoyed that and adjusted to it.
Yeah, if he can speed his mind up that quickly, like, that says a lot about what kind of thinker this guy is.
So, now it's just about piecing another one together. Consistency, you know, being the key going forward for them. Monticello can win football games when Fields is playing well.
No question about it. So, that brings us to sort of what we saw as, like, the takeaways that you could really have from the teams this week. And let's start with the teams that made statements in their games, and that's got to be Louisa County and Monticello.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Lions. Like, we talked a little bit about it earlier, but that's a statement game for a team that lost so much from a 14-1 squad. Now they're back, and they look pretty darn good.
Yeah. I mean, the defense is the same as old. It's just a really stout, hit you in the mouth defense, and they have the right pieces for that. But it's pretty cool to see some new names on offense, you know, whipping the ball around and throwing the ball around between Allender and Shelton. That's that's what they had to have happen. And I think it's cool. Allender was there last year. He just wasn't eligible. He had transferred in. So they got a full year with him. He's going to be more familiar with the system than people realize. Yeah. And that's going to be a big change. And it's Will Patrick's first game. Mark Fisher's at the game. He has sort of roots to Cortland and their coaching staff. So he was
J.C. Hall over there is one of his best friends in the world.
They go way back. So to put that kind of show on for Fisher, that's huge for Louisa. It lets them know, just everybody on that roster, be like, hey, it's very hard to put together the kind of campaign that they had last year together again, but it can be done. There's too many programs. I mean, look what Appomattox is doing, going for a potential first ever fourth state title run. It can be done. It just takes a lot of discipline, a lot of hard work, and if you come out and light a team up 35-0, I mean, you're doing that on both sides of the ball. I feel like that says something, and especially to the rest of the Jefferson District. Oh, maybe Louisa's down. Oh, no.
No.
Not again.
It might be another year where 62 a night. Maybe 62 a night isn't going to be it, but, like, you getting your 21 is going to be a real challenge against this group. So exciting to see Louisa kind of back into that groove. And another team that makes a statement, we just talked about them, but Monticello, I think that this was probably – as far as I know, as far as I felt, like in the last 10 years, this is probably the most that a Monticello team got questioned in the offseason.
Well, just from the sort of personnel turnover. I mean, they lost so many guys. They went through this at sort of after the 2008 and 2009 runs, the team that came back, seven and eight, the team that came back in 2009. That was sort of the first little loop for them that they'd had in a long time. I mean, they were just used to pounding people.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that happens when you have a class that big, like Monticello had. I mean, they lost so many dudes. It's not just Gerald. You know, they lost Elliot Curry. They lost Danny Talbert. They lost Austin Haverstrom. All these guys on that were two-way players.
Jarek Ayers, too.
Yeah, Jarek Ayers, a 1,000-yard rusher, a really good one.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a lot to replace overnight. Mm-hmm. So to have Field step up like he did and give them the kind of production that they were used to already having, that allows them to sort of adjust elsewhere. I mean, I think this is a team, you know, that played, you know, against Monroe, they little maybe tepid at first in that first drive. They just didn't look 100%. But after that, I mean, that offense, Monticello's always been sort of an offensively driven school. There's no reason they can't go out there and try and do what they did last year and try and hang up 60 spots on people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have the dudes to do it. It's just a matter of execution. And we'll see. I mean, Monroe had a tough first half. Things just did not go their way. There's a penalty that probably I think the officials probably would take back. A little bit of a mistake there that wound up sort of hurting Monroe pretty good. But second half came out and played much better. That's good for Monticello, too. You don't want to just come out and roll against somebody and you didn't get the best product. They saw a diverse Monroe offense in the second half. So defensively, Monticello knows where it needs to improve. Tayshawn Minor, really nice game for him. Another sophomore. He's playing on both sides of the line. They need lots from him. He's a big dude. When your big dudes play well, your team plays well.
No question.
So, really good to see sort of Monticello just get back into that groove. The JD needs the teams that were deep last year to come back and be what they were.
Figure out a way to win.
Yeah. I mean, it just from a selfish standpoint, if you're looking at it for playoff positioning, we just sort of need. It would be in a perfect world, everybody's 5-5 kind of thing, beating up on each other. But we need depth. We can't have a bunch of sort of 2 and 3 win teams in this district and send teams further down the road to sort of state final four ish areas that that we sort of as journalists really enjoy.
Yeah, no question. The when you look to the obviously statement games from Louisa and Monticello, when you look at improved Fluvanna and Madison, you got to get serious about what they were able to do.
Yeah, I mean, Madison County is going up against a Luray team that pretty much had the whole gang back from last year, or enough of it, and that was a shellacking that Luray put on last year for Madison. You know, that was a really young Madison team. They lost 100% of their offense, like statistically.
All the yards the year before.
And, that's how good Isaiah Smith was, really.
And Trey Twyman.
I mean, that mattered. So Madison's a different team, but they start out in a 20-0 hole, and really did a good job to sort of claw back and make that a very close game at the end. It's just that's progress. I mean, as we said earlier, a win is a win, a loss is a loss too.
Yeah.
But there's game tape in it. 30-28, you can find a way to flip that script. And if you can do that against Luray, then there's no reason why you can't do that to somebody else. I mean, I was up in Greene County tonight and talking to some of the fans from Monroe, and they're like, that Madison game was a point of conversation. Like, wow, that's a different team. Yeah. And, you know, it's a team that they're nervous about now because they had their way with them last year. So pretty cool to see. And then, yeah, we already talked about Fabana. I mean, what more can you ask?
Dude, what more can you ask for a start? I mean, the wing T was what you expect from the wing T. You had Darius Timlesley, Prophet Harris, both running for big yards, touchdowns, two for Prophet, two for Tinsley. I mean, you've got that kind of pop, and then you had a bunch of other guys that got into that mix that ran the ball pretty well. They only attempted one pass, did not complete it. That's what you're looking for from wing T football. You want to be ahead, and you want to be able to grind, and you want to lean on that clock.
Yep.
That's what you're looking for. Playing from behind in the wing T is a little more difficult.
Yeah, a little anxiety with that.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, is that Joel Gray is a coach who can switch it and spread it out a little bit and throw the ball around. So maybe it's not such a terrible thing for them to be behind. But ideally, if you're going to run the wing T, you want to get up by a touchdown, and then you just want to like try and take the legs out from the other guy.
Yeah, and every high school football coach will tell you having quality assistant coaches means the world.
Yeah.
And Gray was huge at Goochland,
mm-hmm.
But you got to remember the familiarity he has with Fluvanna County just in general. He was the head coach of this team, you know, a little over 10 years ago.
He's a baseball coach.
Yeah, he's the baseball coach that just took them to a huge playoff run, their mm-hmm. first ever state Final Four. So these kids like playing for him. There's a sort of familiarity there. That makes a difference for a first-year coach like Morris.
Yeah, and Morris, man, let's give it up for him, too. Doing a great job. He's over there coaching the defense, I think, a lot. And to get that shutout, that's huge. It's a big step in the right direction.
If you say that Fluvanna is going to have to go through sort of three coaches in less than a calendar year, and how do they come and show out in their first game? I mean, you don't say 21-0.
No!
So, that speaks really highly to Morris and his ability to put this together and sort of put out a solid product like that.
Good stop. They got to go get Spotsylvania. If they're 2-0, you know, that Fluvanna's got to be feeling pretty good about how things are going this year.
Yeah, and everybody in the JD is rooting for them to go 2-0. These points matter.
Yeah, no question about it. So when you flip over, we're talking about two improved squads in Fluvanna and Madison. Another squad that maybe was in a similar situation to Monticello in that nobody was really sure what to make of them going into the season, but showed drastic improvement. And this is over a week where they had struggled against Culpeper in a scrimmage, and they bounced back and get the win against Broadway. Western Almar, the formula that they talked about in the offseason or talked about in fall camp was lean on this senior-heavy defense, like 10 of the 11 starters are seniors, and try and control the clock, the ball, and field position on offense. That's really what they were looking for. And the formula worked about as perfectly as you could hope. Six turnovers.
I mean, if it's not
four
for,
picks.
If it's like, not from Fluvanna's 21-0, that's the defense you're talking about.
No question. Yeah. And the secondary for Western coming up with Jack Leesman coming up with a couple of picks. I mean, these are experienced guys who have been around for a while. I think, Ware had the interception.
Ware had two picks.
Ware had the two picks. Leesman with the fumble recovery.
You know, he picked off.
He had two picks, too. Man, there were so many picks, it's hard to even remember who picked off passes over at Western. Incredible performance by their secondary. A really big step in the right direction that, hey, this game plan is going to work. That is what Ed Redmond wants to do out there at Western. This is what he wants. He wants this team to be focused on defense. They got Aiden Saunders, they got Ware, they got Leesman, they got all these guys who can really kind of get the job done on defense, and then they want this offense to slowly be able to come around. They don't want to be stuck in 50-49, which has become sort of the standard out at Western. They don't want to be stuck in those situations, and they so far so good. Went through a week, a big bounce back, struggled. I think they went down 21-0 to a Culpeper team that maybe people are underestimating. But to take care of business at home against Broadway, Carter Shiflett with a couple of rushing touchdowns, including one long one. I mean, that is a really good start for Western. They showed some massive improvement just in a week. And, you know, hopefully for their sake that they're headed in the right direction and aren't stuck in a sub-500 year again.
Yeah, those sort of back-to-back seasons for Western, where they were really riding high before that, and it just sort of, like, the rug got pulled out from underneath
them. A little bit, yeah.
But despite that, I mean, Redmond hasn't lost a season opener at Western.
Wow, yeah.
7-0. So that's, I mean, Western gets ready for that first week. That's just something they do.
No question.
But this is, yeah, that's a pretty good quality win for Western, and if they can string these forward going along. I mean, it's pretty hard not to if your turnover ratio there, 6-1.
Six turnovers, like you're like, it's really hard not to win that game.
Yeah.
Like, no question about it. So Broadway, they moved the ball a little bit. They maybe got to tighten things up a little bit, but a great step in the right direction for a Western team that's looking to flip their sort of traditional formula on its head a little bit. Mm-hmm. Teams, on the other hand, that had rough weeks and maybe have to figure things out and go back to the drawing board a little bit, that's going to be Albemarle and Charlottesville. Albemarle goes on the road to Mountain View, kind of gets knocked in the mouth right from the beginning, gave up a kick return for a touchdown, and then things sort of spiraled a little bit for him after that. It is really tough to win on the road in the Commonwealth, like against Commonwealth district teams. Mm-hmm. Albemarle can attest to that after years of being in the Commonwealth. It's just a challenge. And so to go over there and take that loss on a Mountain View team that brought back a lot, that was young last year, and that Albemarle barely beat last year at home, you don't like to see the margin that Albemarle had, but they have too many playmakers on this team not to get back to business and sort of figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Albemarle or Charlottesville, in either case, you're sort of, I mean, there's a lot of teams that didn't play this week, and you sort of put yourself in that position. You're like, all right, let's, I mean, I know it counts, we're 0-1, you can't take that away, but like, think of it from like a 0-0 standpoint, like, all right, we gotta get back and start this thing over right. And yeah, that's so hard to sort of start a season with an opening kickoff like that. It's demoralizing.
Yeah, it's frustrating because you got so many expectations. That's just such a gut punch. On the flip side, you know, Charlottesville got started well, and then the injuries. They didn't start great, but like they didn't start bad either. They had a great kick return of their own out to midfield by Quincy Edwards, and then EC Glass took a little while to get going. They exchanged some punts. And then injuries just started to pile up in a way that is, I don't know, I haven't seen too many times. These weren't cramps either. Like, these were legitimately guys who were just knocked out. They were hurt.
Yeah.
And I think that when you get into a situation like that where your sideline becomes like a MASH unit in game one, you don't really have the experience of being with that group of guys or the experience of working different combinations in practice very much yet. Like, you've only been practicing for 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that team's sort of too green at too many positions to have
Definitely. Sort
of a depth attack like that. And that's going to be football this year in our area, period, is that, I mean, if the roster numbers aren't as high as they were, you know, 10 years ago, the injury stuff is really going to factor in. The next man up, it's a lot harder to find that next guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were down. Charlottesville at one point was down to the backup junior varsity quarterback had to step in as a varsity player in a first time in ninth grade. Like, I mean, that is such a challenge. Such a challenge to ask that of a kid. He handled it pretty well. I think that when you look around and you've got a back like Sabias Foley, you've got, you know, some key players that are just such good athletes, but everybody's like banged up right now. Everybody's like, Foley is the only one who like seems like he's like completely healthy, and even he had to like come out a couple of times. His stuff looked more crampy than anything, but I think that, I don't know, I mean, you want to believe that Charlottesville can kind of get it back together again and scrap it together, and they have been terrible. The exact opposite of Ed Redmond in openers. Eric Cherry hasn't won an opener at Charlottesville.
Neither did the guys before him.
Neither the guys before him, in fairness. They schedule really tough, man. Yeah. These are difficult games. EC Glass is a team that maybe is going to compete for a state title this year. I mean, they've got the goods. There's no question that quarterback of theirs can fly. And I think that when, you know, you get that, you've got to kind of put that in perspective. You've got to get back to work. And I think Charlottesville will definitely do that. I've seen them bounce back from openers and have tremendous, you know, week twos, tremendous week threes, and really kind of get things going. 2 years of 7 wins, they're not going to fall apart here. They're not going to wilt.
Yeah, and remember their opponent.
EC Glass is good.
Jeff Woody, who used to coach over at Monticello and, you know, had some good runs the mm-hmm. 2 years he was there with the Mustangs. I mean, that guy knows his football, and he's built this thing up very gradually and very nicely. and they're in a football rich area.
Yeah, they're playing just, Heritage. They're playing. They're, you know, they're,
Brookville.
Yep. They got Heritage, Brookville, Jefferson Forest. I mean, there's. I don't know if you call it a golden era, and then you got like Appomattox down there, not far from them. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you call it a golden era of Lynchburg area football, but it's like something. It's something special in the water there right now. Those are some really good teams. Glass is playing really well. Charlottesville, look for them to kind of shake that off and get a shot against the James Monroe team that didn't have a great year last year. Brings a lot back. They think they've got a little bit of a formula going. But we'll have to see. These city versus city games are awesome. Yeah. Despite Glass running away with it, there were some really fun moments in that one. These are always fun games. So we're hoping that Charlottesville can kind of, recover from some of these injuries for starters. I mean, that's a big part of the problem. And then get back on track.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't just sort of throw your season out after 1 week. There's just way too much football.
And Charlottesville has a history. They have 2 7-win seasons just in the last 2 years that started 0-1.
Yeah.
Like, they know that this is possible. They're going to get it together. We don't need to give them a pep talk. That's Eric Sherry's job. So, thank you for listening. This is week one. We're all wrapped up. A lot to look forward to in week two. Orange County is going to get started. Fluvanna comes back for their home opener. You got Covenant Stab locking up in 8-man for the first time. Two local teams playing in 8-man football. You've got Almar gets a chance to bounce back against Colonial Forge. And then you've got Fork Union Goochland, which is always a fun one. So a lot to really look forward to this week.